He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I love that greeting, and I know we just use it during the Easter season. Perhaps we should use it more often. But it's a great greeting for Christians. I'm going to read out of Romans. This is a passage that I've decided to preach on today, and it's really, if you really want to know the truth, if you were at the sunrise service, Terry's message is a foundation for what I'm saying. It's amazing how he chose that, what he preached on. It was great. And I wish he had recorded it. I really do. We are in Romans chapter 8. It's becoming one of my favorite passages because it talks about what all of creation is waiting for. I'm going to read verses 20 through 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And we haven't had a chance to do this, so if you would like to stand during the reading of the Lord's Word, you may do so or remain seated as you wish. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Father God, thank you for this word. Might you bless it on this Easter morning to all of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just a local event on planet Earth. Now, it is historical, but it was not just local in its dimension. It was a cosmic event that reverberated throughout the whole spiritual and physical universe. Now that's big. Now Easter is a celebration that is specifically we think about for ourselves. The hope that it gives. It's full of hope for humanity. But hope beckons to a death-bound human race from the open doorway of Christ's empty tomb. That's how we think of Easter. It's hope for the human race because we face death. And that open doorway shows that there's a way out of death into resurrection. But there's something about this. This hope is not our hope. We think that way sometimes, but it's not just our hope. Human resurrection in Christ is the hope of the whole created universe. That's what the whole created universe is waiting for. It's looking for that. I'm going to read a little bit about what this anticipation in nature is in the same passage, but not part of the text. It starts in verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the sons of God to be revealed. What is creation waiting for? What is it anticipating? What is this eager expectation that creation has for the sons of God to be revealed? Well, the answer is in what we too are waiting for. We're waiting for that adoption as sons. And we say, well, wait a minute. I know there's teaching in the Bible that we are adopted. Yes, we are. But it's not complete. It's not manifest. It has not been revealed yet. It's hidden. And it'll only be revealed in the redemption of our bodies. As it says here, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, our physical bodies. For in this hope we were saved. That's the hope that we are saved in. Now, why is human hope, this redemption of our bodies, our resurrection, why is it so connected to the rest of creation? And that's what I want to show. Terry established today this idea of bodily resurrection and how important it is. I thought that was a great sermon. Why is all of creation waiting for it? Why is the whole universe, why is every flower you talk to, your beautiful flowers, do you talk to your flowers? It helps them grow better. Why is all of creation around us, why connected to this thing of our resurrection? Well, first of all, creation is waiting for God's human temple. Creation is waiting for God's human temple. What did Jesus say about his body? In John 2, 29 and 21, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. His body was a temple. You know, poets like to talk about nature as a temple, a sanctuary to get away from the chaos of humanity, chaotic world, you know, that we live in. But nature has just the opposite viewpoint, just the opposite idea. It longs for a human temple in which its creator dwells. It's longing for that. Well, said, well, doesn't Jesus dwell in us? Yes, he does. But nature doesn't know about it yet. That's a strange thing. But it's not too strange. I'll show you in a minute. But first of all, what is a temple for? A temple is made out of earthly material as a place to meet with and to worship God. But it's made out of earthly temple. These banners, they're just earthly. This cross here is made out of wood. This pulpit's wood. Everything we have around us is material. This place we call a meeting place. Okay? So a temple is a place where we can meet with the God who is beyond creation, who is beyond this world, who is not material, but who is beyond creation. Well, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was the first place like that. And it was very colorful. It was very beautiful. It was very artsy, you know, and very well constructed. But you'll have to see, there's something about Christ in his incarnation that he described. He described himself as a coming among us. It was like Jesus was called God with us, almost like a temple. His body was a temple, he said. But here's something that describes him. Here's how his incarnation is described in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Made his dwelling is literally pitched his tent. That's what the word is in Greek. Pitched his tent, or he tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. He was the temple of God, and God became, we can meet with God through Christ. Well, although Jesus Christ was the Word and was with God and was the creator of all things, when he first showed up, and this is something when I was doing the study for this, when he first showed up, creation didn't recognize him. Here's what it says. In that same passage in John chapter 1, he was in the world. The world is the cosmos, the created universe. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, he was creator of the world. He was creator of the cosmos. The world did not recognize him. They did not recognize the creator. And yet he was in this temple. Now that shows something. When does he get recognized for who he is? Only after he destroys death. And he did it at the resurrection. His body came out of the grave as the eternal temple. The connecting point. The made out of material, yes. But now glorified in that material body to be the connecting point for the entire universe. A human temple. A human body. That's an amazing thing. Now creation recognizes, but it had to be told. Creation had to be told that this was the gospel. This was the good news. And that's why Paul in Colossians says, this is the gospel, because he's talking about our hope, and he says, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. You say, when did that happen? I don't know when that happened. But all creation knows about it, and it's waiting for it. Waiting for what? Jesus to come, that temple to come back, but something else. You see, our bodies are also temples of God. We look in 1 Corinthians and it says, do you not know that your body is a temple, Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. It is a temple. But does creation recognize it yet? Not yet. Why? It is not resurrected. It is not fully redeemed. We are waiting for, like creation is, we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. That is our hope. And that is the hope, the revealing of the sons of God in these resurrected temples. Then creation will say, ah, that's what we're waiting for. We wanted you to be who you really are supposed to be, but you're not, because creation knows. Creation knows its connection to us better than we know our connection to it. We are connected to nature. We look at it and we say, oh, God's country. You know, people say that. They look at beauty, the beauty in nature, and say, ah, God's country. You know what nature says? Nature says, well, get it on, you guys. We're waiting for the full redemption of God's temple. Come on. When's it going to happen? We eagerly wait for it. That's nature talking. And I don't know how nature talks. Maybe it talks silently. But it's waiting with longing, it says in Romans. And right now, our temples wear out. And nature knows that. In fact, they go back to nature. They go back to the dust that we were created out of. Creation longs for a permanent human temple. Not one that turns back into dust. No. A permanent connecting point wherein the Creator God, is in contact with this creation. And when Jesus comes back, He's got that body, and He's giving us our resurrected temples just like His. This human thing is great. It's amazing. This idea of humanity. That's why the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, it's not that we're not children of God. It's not that we're not adopted children. No, we are. But we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have not got our resurrected bodies. We groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our resurrection in Christ is the hope of all creation, because it restores God's temple to the created order, God's human temple. Then again, there's another thing. Creation is waiting for God's image, God's human image. You know, Sandy's song, I wish Sandy was here to sing it again. Sandy's song was so good. It talked about the firstborn, the image of God, the firstborn Christ. He became firstborn, so He'd be the firstborn of a whole new race. Well, God created us in His image. And it was not just an artistic self-portrait. You know, you think, well, God just was, you know, he was using some clay and He decided to make something in His image. No, He was establishing a new order of being in the universe. A different kind of being. It was not to be spirit like angels. And it was not just to be animal. It was to be a body-spirit being that would look like and act like its creator. For a reason, we're going to see. Man, and woman, but man as a race, was visibly a bodily image of God. God intended that. Show His spiritual form in some way through our bodies to this world and to the universe, not just this world, but all worlds, whether they're spiritual or physical. He had made a handcrafted representative of himself here on earth to lead creation, but it was to be led under the direct supervision and guidance of God. Well, when humans fed on the knowledge of good and evil or right and wrong that gave us moral independence from God, our cosmic leadership role, it was sabotaged. It was sabotaged. That role that we had in the image of God to lead and guide creation under the guidance of God was now broken, because we were now doing, we have right and wrong, whatever we decide is right and wrong, you know. And the image is still there. We're still in the image of God. It bears that out in Scripture. But our spirit, the human spirit, is disconnected. It becomes disconnected from the source of life, of spiritual life, until it's reunited in Christ. That happened already for those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, if you've put Christ into your heart. You've got the connection. You're plugged back in to the source of life. But our bodies are not redeemed yet. Just our inner spirit is. We're waiting for this to change, aren't we? We sure are. We don't want it to change any more downward. We want Jesus to come back and resurrect us and transform those who are still remaining, you know, into that new resurrected body. That will be wonderful. That will be fantastic. Well, the second member of the Trinity, that's Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, he became one of us. And he became one of us to restore that human image. He wanted to restore that human image to the created order. That was so important in the plan of how God would govern the universe. And this is what it says in Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This is not just good news for us. The incarnation is not just good news for us. It's good for the whole creation. Every single thing in the spiritual and the physical world. And Satan, of course, tried to stop us in the beginning, stop that image from the plan that God had made for it. Way back in Eden, he tried to get us lost. But that which was lost, God wanted to restore. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, Satan did not want the image of God to rule the universe, this human image in Adam and Eve, this new being, this new race. He did not want that to happen. So he stopped them. He stopped them right there and now. But Jesus came back to restore it. And so how does Satan attack now? He tries to keep people from becoming Christians, being born to that family. He does not want that image to be restored. And so, progress in the Christian life, you know what it is in terms of? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You see, our growth in the Christian life is to be more and more connected to the life source in God. And that's what Christian spirituality is. It's being connected in that way. And to live out in these earthly bodies what God wants, to be guided by Him. But when we fail, it's usually in areas of our mouth, you know, where we say something, where we talk. It's using this body. Our body gets us into trouble sometimes, you know. And it's just not, it's an unruly member sometimes, especially. God wants to resurrect that. And He wants to start on the inside. And then there's coming a day when our bodies themselves will be restored. There was a lying fallen angel in the Garden of Eden that got Adam and Eve distracted from seeing this, from honoring the image that they were created, this physical body. What, you know, that was the first thing they became alienated from. They tried to hide those bodies. But the truth has not changed. The truth has not changed. And the older I get, and the more I see of the human body, whether it's in the hospital or whether it's in an art class or whatever it is, the more I appreciate what God has done. He has made a lasting image of Himself. He's made a temple for His Holy Spirit. It becomes a holy place, whether it has fig leaves on it or they are not. It's a holy temple. It is a holy image. And it still displays God's glory. Why? Because it still bears what He meant it to bear, the image of God. It still is a place of a holiness for His temple. And all creation is going to be brought together to meet with that temple. And it's, the whole government is going to happen that way. God's eternal government, bringing the whole creation into one under the rulership of that temple in Christ. And we're going to share in that. And that's what creation is waiting for. It's waiting for God's human king. God's human king. Our view of redemption becomes really narrow. It just sort of gets real, real selfish and narrow when we get caught up in a Gnostic view of the body. That's what Terry was telling us today about how Gnosticism, the Greek idea that, oh, material, the body, this world, it's worthless. It's not good at all. No, it's intrinsically important. God didn't do a bad job in making this world. He didn't do a bad job in making our bodies. He said it was all good. And there's a reason why when we sort of get away from honoring the body the way God wants us to honor the body, there's a sort of a way we get into it. Our gospel becomes very, very narrow. But in Christ's resurrection, the dignity and the destiny of the human body spirit, we are body spirit beings. This human body spirit has been forever established. There is always going to be dignity. There's always going to be a wonderful destiny for us in Christ. And through His incarnation, He used the death of His own body to reconcile to God, not just us in forgiveness, but to reconcile all things unto Himself. The whole creation had to be reconciled because it was thrown off course when the human king gave ground to Satan in the Garden of Eden. Jesus got the crown back. I love this crown over here. There was a crown of thorns that He took, but there's a crown of glory that He took in resurrection. By bodily resurrection, Jesus established human supremacy over the entire universe. He said, when he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. That's what He said after He rose from the dead. And He's coming back. And this is why Jesus was transformed from pure deity in the Son of God and took upon Himself human flesh so that He might be this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a human King. He already had supremacy. Now He has supremacy as the human king, and we are reigning with Him at Hyde in resurrection. That will be a glorious day. This is the gospel hope. It's not often preached because we have this narrow view of just getting ourselves saved and getting our spirits into heaven. The plan is so much bigger and so much more human than we have seen it. We need to see what this resurrection really entails. And this was the gospel that was preached to all creation. It's what all creation is waiting for at Christ's return. Human resurrection in Christ is the hope of the whole created universe. Easter, I said, is the Sunday of Sundays because we celebrate Christ's resurrection every Sunday. That's why it changed from the Sabbath to Sunday in the Christian way. It's because we anticipate our own resurrection. That is why it is our hope. That is why every Sunday we should probably say, He is risen, and He is risen in answer. And that's the next event. This resurrection of our bodies That's the next event on the schedule of salvation history. We are only waiting for that. When Christ comes back, it's for to raise us. It's to bring us all back into what we were supposed to be in the first place, in the Garden of Eden, and beyond the Garden of Eden. We are to be restored. We are to be resurrected. That's what creation waits for, and that's what we wait for. He is risen.
He is risen.
And because He is risen, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You for this hope that we have. Lord, it seems almost too good to be true. Especially as we see our bodies as they age, and as, Lord, we see death around us. We have lost so many friends. Here we have remembered some of these friends in this memorial with these banners. But Lord, we're waiting for resurrection. We're so thankful that all of creation has joined us in this, waiting for resurrection day. It's all because of You. And so forever, Lord, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.